Sankarshanaya.
Sankarshanaya.
Unto the Master of Integration. Shukshmaya.
Shukshmaya.
Unto the subtle unmanifested material ingredients. Durantaya.
Durantaya.
Unto the unsurpassable.
Antakaya.
Antakaya. Unto the matter master of disintegration. Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Nama.
Nama.
Obeisances. Vishvaprabodhaya.
Vishvaprabodhaya.
Unto the master of the development.
Of the universe.
Prajumnaya.
Prajumnaya.
Under Lord Prajumna.
Anta Atmane.
Unto the super soul in everyone's heart. Translation. My dear Lord, you are the origin of the subtle material ingredients, the master of all integration as well as the master of all disintegration, the predominating deity named Sankarshana, and the master of all intelligence, known as the predominating deity Prajumna. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The whole universe is maintained by the integrating power of the Supreme Lord, who is known in that capacity by the name Sankarshana. The material scientists may have discovered the law of gravity, which maintains the integration of objects within the material energy. Yet the master of all integration can create devastation by the disintegrating blazing fire emanating from his mouth. The description of this can be found in the 11th canto, chapter of Bhagavad Gita, wherein the universal form of the Lord is described. The master of integration is also the destroyer of this world by virtue of his disintegrating energy. Sankarshana is the master of integration and disintegration, whereas Prajumna, another feature of Lord Vasudeva, is responsible for universal growth and maintenance. The word shukshmaya is significant because within the gross material body, there are subtle material bodies, namely mind, intelligence, and ego. The Lord in his different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Prajumna, and Sankarshana, maintains both the gross and subtle material elements of this world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the gross material elements are earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the subtle material elements are mind, intelligence, and ego. All of them are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vasudeva. Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. This will be further explained in the following verse. So this is a prayer given by Lord Shiva to the Prachetas. Idea being by understanding this, by understanding this, one can become perfect. So this aspect of perfect means that one is in connection with the Lord. One is absorbed in the Lord, because without being absorbed in the Lord, there is no perfection. All we're dealing with is the Lord, that's all there is. But if we don't understand that, then we're separated from the Lord, so it's not perfect. Right? It exists, but it exists in a state of illusion. So there's no question of non-existence. It's just a matter of whether that existence is in a superior state or inferior. Right? So here then, talking about the Lord is maintaining the universe, the integration, disintegration, right? Things are held together by gravity. They're all attracted to each other by gravity. So that means attraction. So this aspect is coming from the Lord. Because something is there, you bring things together, it becomes attractive. We become attracted to it also. It means you put so many things together, then it becomes something. You have a log of wood, it's not so attractive. You bring it together with other pieces of wood and make it into something, and you bring other elements there, some varnish, some other aspects, some design, and then it becomes attractive. So that element is held together. That's Sankarshana. What is the nature of something? So what nature can connect with something else? This holding together. That's the reason the Vedic literatures describe what is nature. Otherwise, you don't know what to put together. Right? Well, it means, what's the criteria? Right? You know, something soft, okay? So the eggplant is soft, right? So then we can put that in the subject. But also, the kids are, their Play-Doh is also soft. So does that go in the subject? How do you decide? What's the basis? You know, just it's soft or something. Potatoes are hard. They go in there. But does that mean, okay, I can throw in the dump truck also? You know, the kid has one of those and a shovel and a bucket, you know, like that. Maybe we're not on the beach, so there's no sand, but hey, we can throw it in. You understand? So how do we decide? This is Sankarshan. It means the rules are established what is compatible, what's not. Because those things that are compatible are not compatible are naturally drawn to each other. Now we're very progressive. We put the chairs in a circle, right? And we kind of made sure that nobody had too big. The armchair we got rid of because there's only one of those. And then whoever has that will think he's superior to everybody else. So we looked around for all kinds of chairs like that. Though a couple of them have arms on them, but you know, they're kind of that French style. It's just wooden, so it's not a big deal. So you know, we'll get by. And we put them in a circle like that. Then we all sit down. Now we start just, you know, saying whatever we want to say. And somehow or another, that's integration. But what is defined that as integration? Because as soon as you finish, everyone will get up and walk off and go in their different ways. Have you actually brought these living entities closer together? Right? What was the basis for the interaction? What was the integration? So this is the idea that Krishna is saying is that, or Lord Shiva is saying here, is that the integration and disintegration, those are governed by the Lord. So we'll sometimes say, no, that passion will bring it all together. But passion's fire. And he's already said he destroys by fire. Right? Think about it. It means when you're using in your destruction, fire is very, very, works very well. What is it doing? It's basically molecule by molecule taking the thing apart. Right? And if you do the fires faster, then it just blows it apart. Right? So the element of fire is very, you have to be very careful with, because it's the same Lord. We can also by fire put things together. But still, again, it's only when the nature is followed. You take one metal and another metal, through fire you can integrate them. Right? But you can't take the metal and a piece of wood and integrate them through fire. Right. One has to understand that it's not a matter of speculation. It's not a matter of personal opinion. It's not a matter of opinion or feelings, which unfortunately may have covered everything that the modern society uses as glue to hold things together, except for chewing gum, maybe. But, you know, generally that's the hillbillies use that more, but, you know, like that. So the understanding this principle means without understanding what's given by Sankarshan, then there is nothing is held together and what is supposed to come apart doesn't. That's what we were saying before, is that if passion is too much, it can also create destruction. But passion is so great that the person doesn't act properly in their relationships, it destroys relationships. Or it may be fine in the relationship, but it destroys the environments in which the relationship could be nourished. Right? So, in other words, the element of attraction and disintegration, these only have a value if they're seen in relationship to the Lord. Because the Lord is the cause of what comes together and what goes apart. So we see it in connection with Him, according to His directions, then it works. If we make up our own system, then it's not going to work. Then He has Prajumna, the Lord of the intelligence. So now, understanding, then if you accept this as the principle, then when we apply intelligence, there'll be a benefit. Because when we are establishing the field, getting something accomplished is not the actual goal. Right? We'll look at it that, okay, you observe the field, see what elements are there, okay, so what things are brought together, what things are not. Then by the combination of or manipulation of those elements, what result you get. But getting that result, technically speaking, if you think about it, has nothing to do actually with personal relationship. Right? It means it is a relationship, you and whatever you're manipulating. Right? But it's not a personal relationship. It's not based on rasa. Remember, rasa can only happen in the same species. You know, you and your toaster do not have a rasa. It means you can talk to your toaster, tell it all kinds of things like that. It's a great confidant, right? Keeps all secrets, never tells anybody. Only occasionally burns the toast, but generally, I guess if you really think about it, that's because I'm so absorbed in talking to the toaster, I don't notice when to, you know, hit the thing, because if you leave it the regular amount of time, it always burns it, so you have to kind of like, you know. So it's between same species. So the point is the taking the field and the manipulation of the field that gets results is only to be used in relationships with others. That's what it's for. But the modern culture will say, no, it's all about just getting that result. Right? You've worked hard. You bought that house. Or you got that car. Or you got that latest suit or gizmo or gadget. Then that's it. Life is perfect. No. Situations may be great. But what's the life? The life is not you and your gadget. You know, it's a man and his machines. No, it's that's what he gets things done with. But now, once he's accomplished something with the machine, and he's become all ecstatic that it works, he wants to turn around and be able to interact with people. And if there's nobody there, he's just made the most fabulous machine in the world, and there's nobody to agree with him, he will never be satisfied. Never. So we have to understand, that's why we see in grammar, the accusative and the dative are two separate cases. An activity is performed, directed at someone, it gets an external result. But the point is the relationship. So, if one doesn't understand how these things are held together, as Prajumna says, how will you understand what is the relationship and what actually can be obtained? If that's not there, then application of Prajumna using the intelligence will be misdirected. Because then we're using the intelligence, the senses, because Prajumna is the lord of the senses, means the management of the senses, not the experience. The experience of the senses and what you want to engage the senses is that's the mind, that's Aniruddha. But Prajumna means your attraction to it. I can do these by Sankarshan. Here's the field. I like what I could get from this field. Therefore, I'm inspired. I use my intelligence in that process. That's Prajumna. So if it's not based on something solid, you won't get what you're looking for. The intelligence, the inspiration will be misdirected. And then if you won't get the results, either the physical results and neither the relationship results. Because both are based on Sankarshan. What is the relationship in the way of rasa, and what is the relationship just in the way of what goes with what? What does what? That's all Sankarshan. So, if this is understood, then it becomes a matter of it's all the Lord. Whatever it is that we're doing, the results that we get, the relationships we experience, it's just the Lord. There's nothing else. If you see it in this way, it's very easy to break down the activities or involvement we have in the material energy and be able to appreciate the Lord's presence and the Lord's involvement in anything. If we think that, no, it is by my own determination, and that's all, you know, I said, what is it? Fate is what we make of it, or something like that. Something. So that kind of a thing is, then if that's all there is, then where does God fit in? How will you be God conscious in dealing with all your activities, right? All your experiences, all your results, right? So the idea is that if we appreciate that everything is going on because it's the Lord's, He's entered into everything. Therefore, it becomes attractive. Therefore, being involved in that way, we get a result that is offered to Him. But if the first stage is not right, there's a good chance the last will not be. Right? If we go through the process of thinking, feeling, and willing. So if I think I'm the controller and enjoyer, then my need is to enjoy in a particular way or get a particular result so that I may enjoy. So my endeavor, therefore, is material. Right? Now, if I change that identity, which is Sankarshan, that I am servant of Krishna, therefore, the endeavor I'll make will get a result that's for Krishna. That means the activity itself is devotional service. It's going to be much harder to take, I'm the controller and enjoyer. I make the endeavor for the result. I get the result, and then at that moment now decide, now this result is for Krishna. Does that make sense? Because your endeavor will still be material. But then once you've gotten it, there's still a chance. That's the nice thing about it. That's why devotional service is so perfect. That even if the whole premise is wrong, if at the end stage it's about Krishna, it's connected to Krishna, it still works. But of course, it's called mixed devotional service. It's not pure devotional service. Because pure is satisfying from beginning to end. Well, in mixed, it's good at the end, but in between, it wasn't so great. So, yeah. So this universal, yeah, growth and maintenance is, it's always maintained because, growth and maintenance, because if you have a desire, and that desire is based on actual fact, on Sankarshan, then you're going to make endeavors that are going to be prosperous. Right? And prosperity automatically becomes part of the maintenance. You know what I'm saying? You endeavor for something, once you get it, it becomes part of that field. Right? It doesn't stay as a goal. Getting your house doesn't stay a goal forever because you bought it last year. Now what? Now it's just part of your environment. Does that make sense? So, Prajumna, by always seeing the world and seeing in connection with the Lord, then there's always an inspiration how to engage us in the Lord's service. Right? So that maintains and how you say, and expands, you know, the facilities. So this is actually how things work. Right? So Lord Shiva is giving this. This is the first thing. Now, who is he talking to here? He's not talking to a group of Brahmins. He's talking to sons of a king. So Kshatriyas, then, of course, everything's based on authority. There must be authority. So, you know, being in the Veda culture, then the authority is the Veda. And Lord Shiva as a teacher, then they have respect for the teacher. But for the Kshatriya, if you cannot bring the particular point in discussion down to a practical, observable, usable formula, they don't have any interest. Like Brahmins can discuss things that may be theoretical, and then also practical. But for Kshatriyas, if it's not practical, they're not interested to discuss it in the first place. It's a waste of time for them. Right? It means it has to be according to authority. Therefore must be Shastra. But let's discuss something that we can use. So now, this basically is the first verses. So he's starting where practical starts. Practical starts from knowing the field. You don't know the field, there is no practical. But that field is God. So it doesn't matter how we organize it. It's how it actually already is organized. Not that you make a plan, therefore now it's going to work like that. No, the how something will function is already there before you get involved. Like the water is already wet, then you decide to take a bath. It's not that because you made the plan to take a bath, now water makes things wet. It was already like that. Right? So one has to be able, in one's observation and practical application, therefore it has to be based on Scripture. If it's not, you may get an expedient result, but the results will be temporary. And they will be dissatisfying, not only to yourself, but everybody else. It means there's the moment, of course, of gaining it. There's that momentarily happiness, but no one will be satisfied. The Vedic culture is more about satisfaction than happiness. Happiness is for the spiritual world, because around here, there isn't really such a thing. It means we have something we call happiness. You know, just like, does that make sense? When we have a pain, we remove the pain, we call that happiness. But that just means coming to the neutral state. Happiness is in the spiritual world. So, being satisfied with that, you know, a manageable quality of neutral stateness as opposed to unneutral stateness, right? That is then satisfaction. That will get you through. Okay. Yes, so this combination, as he'll go through all these four features of the Lord, that this is how the universe works. So if you want to do anything practical, then this is how it functions. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned about pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. So the assumption is that one is obviously superior to the other, but yes, they're both devotional service.
Yes.
And I'm to assume from that at least mixed devotional service is better than no devotional service.
Yes, yes.
But it's in that area of mixed devotional service. You're now talking about satisfaction and dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what my question is. I think I'm repeating back what I've just heard, mm-hmm, that there are two forms of devotional service,
yes, yes,
fundamentally.
Yes, yes.
And one we can linger in for as long as we want without, yes, being as satisfied as we would like.
Yes, yes. Means when we're dealing with these principles we're discussing like this, especially in these kind of forums, and let's say we become very strong about certain devotional practices. So as long as they're bona fide practices, then we don't have a problem. But so mixed devotional, we're saying these things strongly sometimes because the idea is we should appreciate that pure devotional service is superior to mixed. Because pure means it pleases the Lord fully. He's satisfied. Well, mixed devotional service doesn't. So the reason is pure devotional service was satisfied because the Lord's satisfied. And mixed were not satisfied because the Lord's not satisfied. So that's why you're saying it. Again, goes back to a relationship. Right? It's not a matter of what you've done, how great a quantity, or how technical, or anything. It's how much the Lord's been satisfied. Right? So sometimes the verses will speak very strongly, or devotees will preach very strongly on points that it makes it sound like we're not doing devotional service. No, it's only being said so that we appreciate that the devotional service we may be performing, being mixed, is we will not get what we are looking for from it. We will from pure. Because pure is the minimum standard, right? Pure, it means prema, the minimum standard is pure, right? It means we, as amongst Vaishnavas, have a unique element that we're looking for pure, unalloyed devotional service. So it means it's pure. But within spiritual, there's no other mixes of even something on the spiritual platform except for directly Krishna's pleasure. So that's what makes Braja special. So that's why we put such an emphasis on it. We're putting an emphasis not because of good and bad action, you know, coming from varnashram, coming from morality or piety, because the elements you engage in the Lord's service are supposed to be pious elements, right? Means he's the supreme pure, that means he's the supremely pious person. Piety is defined by them, he is piety. The actions that he performs are pious. The results gained from those actions, that's actual piety. So that sphere is what we engage in the Lord's service. That's the ideal, that's the pure platform. Now, for those who the authorization of the scripture is the main drive or the main principle of their devotional mood, then the right forms in that become very essential because they're the medium. You know, it means the medium, but it's more, it means as the medium is very prominent. Of course, not as prominent as the relationship, but the formality of it is very important. That the formality is done right and perfectly, then that gives rise to greater appreciation within the relationship. You know, the person comes and he's very formal, does everything properly, says all the right things, you know, bows his head, clicks his heels, does all the things that he should. People appreciate that this person is very, you know, very, I would say, trained. You know, so it enhances the interaction. So we're not coming from that point, though it's still helpful. We're coming from the point is that it's that if we don't use the right forms, we're not getting the results that will be pleasing to the Lord. We'll put more emphasis on that side. Though both schools are discussing the same point. It's just where the emphasis is more. So that's actually the thing. So it creates a dissatisfaction if the emphasis is wrong. Right? Like that. If we're discussing the principles of how to engage the mechanics of things in Krishna's service, but we don't appreciate that, or when we're discussing the mood and we're too much pushing the forms, then there'll be a dissatisfaction because the balance won't be correct.
Right? I think another point that arises for me is the emphasis on purity,
yes,
or Brahmanism. And perhaps, is it possible to be hung up on the principle of purity?
Purity? Yes, one can. I mean, you have the physical, Prabhupada called it cleanliness disease. I think one time he came into the house and his daughter was taking water. She was cleaning. She had a pot of water. She was throwing water inside the electrical plugs because there was dust inside, right? And so he told her very strongly, if she does that again, there's going to be a lot of trouble. Right? So it means you can take something too far. The purity is not the actual point. The point is Krishna is the supreme pure, therefore something pure naturally goes with him. But that's the form. But the important point for Krishna is the purity of intent. So that's primary. The purity of the elements is secondary, though technically non-different, but at the same time is different. One has to be able to see. So if you take the form, and its purity is more important than the mentality. So we're getting all bent out of shape and creating a very uncomfortable environment of purity, then a mistake has been made, right? But that doesn't mean that then we take it the other way, that purity in form is not important. You know, these are the difficulties we have in lack of balance. That it's one or the other. It's totally the mood or it's totally the form. Right? And so then, and that's the weakness, is that we don't understand it's actually the balance between the two. Is that if you want to express the relationship, you need the form. Like that. You know, it's just like, let's say you take, you know, a more contemporary We'll take the same scenario, you know, today, and then we'll move it back 100 years. The person comes up and they're having some problem. So their friend knows they have that problem, so they come over and give them some money. Said, here, I heard you have this difficulty, you know, use this. So then they might say, oh, thank you. Great, you know, nice, that's so kind of you, you know. Great to have good friends like you and all that. You know, so nice. Now let's take it back 100 years. So the friend comes over, knows about it, comes over, gives the money. Then the person he's giving it to, is the first thing he'll ask is, well, how will you get by? You understand? Because they understand it's because you have facility you're getting by, rather than just, it's all about myself. So I understand the facility you don't get by, but I don't consider others. So I'm not looking at it from relationship, I'm only looking at it from just the mechanics. Does that make sense? So you have those, that's many times, be just by observation, what throws off or threw off, even today, throws off many times your first world in dealing with the other worlds, is that so much consideration of these personal elements that it appears to be non-expedient. And so that's why they're backwards. Because they don't, they, you know, the personal values, the family values, their dignity, all these things just get in the way of efficiently getting things done. Does that make sense? So the point is that forms you have to have. So that's what we're saying, is that people who actually understand relationship know that they're only expressed through forms. Those who only go on mood, then the forms aren't important, so their life will be very inconsistent. Their interactions will be inconsistent. Those who think only the form is important will have very nicely arranged forms. Their life is very organized, their facilities are very organized, they have very good quality facility. But the relationships will be dry. You know? So the point is without a balance, it doesn't work, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Something else? No? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So Krishna has 6 opulences: wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and enunciation.
You have to speak a little bit more, either loudly or clearly, one or the other.
Krishna has 6 opulences: the wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Now we see that the relationship everyone has in the material world, everyone in the material world has a relationship with these, but
yes,
they don't connect it to Krishna, because Krishna is the actual possessor of this.
Yes.
So isn't it that indirectly everyone is seeking Krishna?
Everyone is cheating Krishna.
Seeking. Looking for Krishna.
Seeking.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. No, that's all there is. Everybody actually is God conscious. They just don't know it. So their God consciousness isn't very scientific. Right? Means nobody's actually conscious of the dead matter. They're conscious of Krishna's opulence within that dead matter that is attracting them. So everybody's God conscious. It's just whether it's favorable, like the devotees, or unfavorable, like Kamsa. Kamsa was very God conscious. Right? So the point is everybody is conscious of God. They just don't know that what they're conscious of is God. So it's just a matter of understanding that, then it starts to work. And since God's unlimited, there's so many aspects with which one can appreciate. So according to one's own nature, then one can utilize all these different perspectives on viewing God. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I just wanted to give one example. Like, if there's 2 brothers, and one is rich and one is poor, and somehow their relationships get reversed. Their positions, actually. One becomes poor and the other one becomes rich. Like, they reverse.
Right.
then everything that was with the rich person, the rich brother, would go to the poor brother, the attention. So in that way, nobody actually cares for the person itself. It's very impersonal. Everyone only cares about the wealth itself.
No, you're saying in this example they are.
Yes, in this example. Because normally, I mean, in every condition, isn't it like that?
No, but what's the point? What's the point you're using, getting from this example?
That wealth itself, that nobody actually possesses the wealth. And nobody, because nobody possesses the wealth, and the respect that's given to the wealth is actually only to the wealth itself, not to the person.
Yeah,
as long as you have the wealth.
But that's because they're not God conscious. It means they're not in conscious, they're not consciously God conscious. If that is there, then it works out. It's not a matter of who has the money, it doesn't matter. It's God's money. So it's a matter of quota, and therefore who has the responsibility to take care of it. You know, just like, let's say there's a child of the family, right? And so you're standing with that child, right? And taking care, right? Let's say you're standing at the train station, right? Then you get a phone call, but it's an important phone call. So then you ask someone else to watch the child, and then you take the phone call. So it doesn't matter who's watching the child. So it doesn't, you know, but the point is the child is what's important. You know what I'm saying? So there can, the point is the relationship, because they're a member of the family. So then the thing is it's God's wealth. So it doesn't matter who's controlling it, as long as it's used in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Can you expound a little bit on the Vasudev feature of, you know, speaking about Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Sankarshan, like ego?
Vasudev.
Yeah, Vasudev feature a little
bit? Vasudev, okay. Vasudev is where you are applying all three, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, all three understandings together in action. Right? Because Sankarshan means you're intellectually looking at the field and understanding the field. Prajumna means you're inspired by that, so it's still intelligent, but the mind has been included. Aniruddha means now, from observing the field, you understand what goals you can get, right? And what plans will get it for you, right? So therefore, Prajumna is going to then be manifest as your inspiration to be involved. But up to now, everything is static. There's nothing dynamic. It's all contemplation. Vasudev means when you take all those three aspects and then apply them in action. So, if it's applied only with the sentiment that what you want, but without the intelligence or knowledge, it'll fail. If it's applied with just knowledge, but it doesn't have that inspiration, then even you get the results, emotionally it'll fail. No one will be satisfied. Right? Or if you only mechanically do the thing, you know, based on Sankarshan, and there's no inspiration from Prajumna and Aniruddha, it'll be dry. No one will be satisfied. So it has to be that all three are there in their proper place. Right? So Vasudev includes all the three. That's why Vasudev is the senior or the superior of, or the, let's say, the primary of this Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. Because the other three only support the pastime, the endeavor. So that's why Vasudeva is always the prominent one. Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha in the pastimes are always supportive. You have Ram, then you have Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman. And they're supportive of Ram's Ruddha. There's Krishna Ruddha, and Balaram is supportive of that. You know, or Prajumna and Aniruddha, you know, in Dwarka. They're supportive. Does that make sense? So Vasudeva is always the prominent feature. You have the material world. So that's a combination. It's been Sankarshan. Karanadakshai Vishnu, Sankarshan, has breathed it out. He's created everything that's there. It means the manifestation of the external energy. Garbhadakshai Vishnu's entered it as Prajumna, and then divides it all and makes it attractive. Right? Like that. Then Aniruddha enters it and makes it a desire, a need. Right? So that means everything's set. The stage is set. Now, Then Krishna comes as Vasudeva in his pastimes and performs as many leelas. Does that make sense? So Vasudeva is always the primary feature.
So in the analogy, like mind, intelligence, ego, Vasudeva, is that also like, could be said like the soul?
No, it means the mind is Aniruddha, the intelligence is Prajumna, the false ego is Sankarshan. Right? Because Sankarshan is the field. It means what's observable. So Vasudeva is the combination of those three in action. Because you have the body, that's Sankarshan. The mind, Aniruddha, and the words, that's Prajumna. So body, mind, and words, their engagement, then that's controlled by Vasudeva. So if it's a connection with the Lord, then you become God conscious. If you're not, you just become more materially entangled. The formulas don't change. You know what I'm saying? Devotional service just identifies them in connection with Krishna consciousness. We're not so worried about the formulas without Krishna consciousness. Right? The formula's the same, but we're not so interested. You know, so it's like we have a recipe for halva. We're only interested in the recipe for halva in connection with offering it to Krishna. Right? But someone else is interested in halva, but not offering it to Krishna, but the recipe is the same. Right? So that's why when the Shastra defines how the material world works, that's the only way it works. But we'll say, okay, well, that's philosophy. Then there's the reality of all, you know, what the materialists say and the scientists and the intellectuals say how it works. No, there's only one way it works. The Shastra from authority tells you how it works. And the others are writing books and having their theories based on what they've observed that's already working. They're not coming up with something new. They're only observing what's going on. Science simply means you observe what's already going on. You don't discover something new, right? It's something what we weren't aware of, but it was already going on. It's always been there. Apples were already falling off of trees for thousands of years, right? I mean, if you check back in history, probably that city in Kazakhstan called Almaty, which means the mother of apples. They say apples come from there, right? If you go there, all there is apple trees. It's just, you know, and they're good apples. So probably the term Almaty and the apple tree and them falling on the ground predates Newton. There's a good chance like that. You know, we may have to do some deep, you know, professorial level of research, you know, to establish this as a, you know, accepted academic fact. But the point is it's always been there. So he simply observed something that was already there. That's all. So science simply means observing what's already there. We have no problem with science. Other religionists may. We have no problem. What we have a problem is that they're so foolish that they don't know that what they're observing and that there are laws means there's a lawmaker. Does that make sense? Right. So the problem with science and all that is one focuses so much on the mechanics, one doesn't understand the purpose of it. And that's relationship with the Lord and the devotees. That's the weakness. Right? So that something is observed, something is worked out, that's fine. But if somebody only has that, it's only Sankarshan. That's why they're so dry. Because rasa starts with Prajumna, Adiruddha, and Vasudeva. That's why generally your quantumists are pretty dry people. You know what I'm saying? Because it's only Sankarshan. You know, the point is yes, it is only atoms, but then the atoms are put together like this. You know, that group of atoms happens to be on the front of that magazine. You know, and people like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, those atoms happen to be, you know, a Gucci dress. Yes, it's just little atoms there spinning around and all that, so actually it's not actually something solid and all that, but the thing is it's not going to fall off. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is they're unable to apply it. So even though they're so intelligent, their intelligence is being applied in one place only, so you can't really call them that intelligent. Like, let's say the guy is... he's super good at let's say, flipping the donuts while they're frying. You know, there's no mark, there's nothing. He's so good at it. So he is a cook, and he's the best in the world. But would you call him actually a good cook, in the sense of the term that you could give him something else to cook and he could do that? No. You know, though he may be better at that than a five-star chef, but still he's not actually the better of the two chefs. So the scientist knows his particular little minuscule field very greatly, and that it requires intelligence, but the intelligence has come from God. And he's misapplying it to only understand mechanics and not understand relationship. Just like the man knows economics, he can make money, he sees deals everywhere, he's constantly wheeling and dealing, he's making tons of money. There's money coming out of their ears, his family doesn't know what to do with it, even they go on shopping sprees, still they can't use it up. And they're totally dissatisfied. Why? Because all there is money. There is no relationship. Or the guy, power, you know, he got to do this and get that, you know, get in position, get in power, and all that, and he loses everything. Why? Because there's no relationship. Or the guy is just to express, and he's got to feel, and he's got to this, and he's got to that. And you know how many divorces those guys go through? And then after four divorces, the guy shoots himself. Not because of the last divorce, because there isn't anything. You know, if he's expressed, and there's... Does that make sense? So the point is these are forms to be used. So when all of these things are used together, that's Vasudev. Then you're pleasing Krishna. But these other elements are necessary. Otherwise, how do you please Vasudev if you don't use one of the elements? Right? You know what I'm saying? I make halva, I don't put in the sugar. You know what I'm saying? Okay, last point, yes. The quadruple, the Chaturvyuhan according to Sambandha, Abhidev, and Prayojana. So, in relationship you have Sankarshan and Prajumna. In Abhideya you have Vasudev, and in Prayojana you have Aniruddha. In Sambandha you have two aspects, the actual, what is the factual relationship, and then the inspiration to be in that relationship, right? Because just because you have the relationship doesn't mean you're inspired, right? So that's why you have to have both. So Sankarshan and Prajumna. So Sankarshan means the field, then gives rise to Prajumna, right? Isn't it? And then by contemplating what you could do, then is your result. Is Aniruddha, right? So Sankarshan is first. Then he expands into Prajumna, and that Prajumna expands into Aniruddha. Right? And so all those three then together are Vasudev. Abhideya is Vasudev. Yeah. Because the point is you have to use the intelligence and the knowledge and the facilities of Sambandha, right, of Sankarshan and Prajumna. At the same time, you have to know where your goal is, Aniruddha. So you're, in other words, action means you're applying your knowledge and effort to the field that you've observed with the idea of knowing what goal you'll get. And as it goes towards that goal, you continue. If it's going away from the goal, you make adjustments in your field, you know, in your endeavor based on knowledge until you get the result. So that means the central feature is Abhideya, or activity, right? So of all that, so that's why Govinda is the central deity. Our deity is Govinda. Does that make sense? Okay. So, end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.